Friday means popcorn and multiplexes, speaking of movies, and it's the multi that's the problem. So many movie screens, the struggle of what to put on them. So what we need to do is turn to someone to be our guide to that which is good.
Who should that be?
Well, there are two of us in the studio, and here's a third person. So let's ask him.
Let's talk to him.
Whoever he may be. What's your name?
My name is David Edelstein.
I'm sorry. Under contract, we can't use you. So we'll interview you. Pretend you're Daniel Holloway, the film critic for Metro Newspapers. Fair enough?
Just as good.
All right. First movie up, Baby Mama.
Yep.
And if you listen to this show, you
know it's a movie.
It's
you know that we're obsessed with 30 Rock, the Tina Fey comedy show.
Like most people.
And on Saturday Night Live, Amy Poehler is just – she's in every sketch because they cast their own sketches, and she's fantastic. So you put these two together, and I think we're really hoping that it's a good movie. But let's hear a clip. In this scene, Faye meets the couple who will be carrying her baby.
What do you do, Carl?
Carl is a inventor slash entrepreneur.
Yeah. I'm still looking for that home run, you know? I mean, when I saw the iPod the first time, I was like, man, I could have kicked myself.
That was so hard on him.
Now we're pretty tight on cash.
So that led you to surrogacy.
Hey, I gotta say, when I first thought about Angie carrying someone else's baby, I felt weird about it. Then I thought, oh, my God, if my wife's got to have sex with someone else's husband to do this, that's
going to
cost extra. It's out of the question.
That's not how it works.
No, it's not how it works.
Dan, what'd you think of this movie?
You know, being a fellow 30 Rock freak, and, you know, I saw the movie a couple nights ago, and then last night I was watching 30 Rock, and as I was watching it, I was thinking, this is how good the movie should have been.
Right. Mm.
But unfortunately, was not. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, they worked together for several years on Weekend Update on SNL, and they have a great comic report, and a lot of the jokes are really funny. Unfortunately, this movie falls all over itself trying to be a chick flick. And, you know, I mean, it's still Tina Fey, so it's not going to be, you know, all pink and frilly and shopping and stuff. But it tries to be very sweet and appeal to the sort of people who go see Sandra Bullock movies. And it lacks it takes away that sort of
edge.
Bite that that you want from something with comedians who are this good in it.
But then again, they didn't write or direct it.
No, it was written by Michael McCullers, who was a writer back when Faye was the head writer on SNL. And they did, I read something where Faye and Amy Poehler did do rewrites on some of the gags. And the jokes and the gags in the movie are great, but the flow of it, you know, there's this awful romantic subplot with Greg Kinnear shoehorned into it.
Greg Kinnear.
Yeah.
Romantic subplots.
Yeah. You know, just maybe not the right guy.
Sabrina.
I will give it this, though. Basically, Tina Fey is playing Liz Lemon, a little bit more buttoned up, but she is playing Liz Lemon. And if you can kind of look at it as being based on the same relationships that she has in 30 Rock, Amy Poehler is sort of playing Tracy Morgan's character.
or the one-legged flatulent stripper.
Yes, that she plays on SNL, yeah.
To be fair, I don't think she's a stripper, just, you know, a trailer type
person.
She's just a
person of
trailer,
you know, trailerishness. I lived in a trailer for 6 years, so I don't judge. But then Steve Martin plays the chief executive at the organic grocer that Tina Fey works at.
I didn't know he was in that. That's
yes,
fun.
And he is kind of playing like the hippy dippy version of the Alec Baldwin character, which is all of the best. Just like in 30 Rock, all the best scenes are with Tina Fey and Baldwin. In this movie, all of the best scenes are with Tina Fey and Steve Martin. And thank God Steve Martin's in something that actually makes me laugh again, because I think it's been about 16 years since that happened.
So it sounds like Baby Mama would make a great sitcom for a half hour. Errol Morris, to go from the ridiculous to one of the nation's best documentaries. He got a guy exonerated in The Thin Blue Line, Fast, Cheap, and Out of Control, with those topiary gardeners and the fascinating people that he follows. The Fog of War, I think, did he win the Oscar for that? I think he did.
I believe he did.
So that was all about Robert McNamara. And he does great things with cinematography, but even the way he interviews someone is different from anything else you'll see on film. And so his new film is called Standard Operating Procedure. From the trailer, it looks like Morris talked to just about everyone involved in Abu Ghraib, the military, police, interrogators. What does he get out of them?
You know, not necessarily new information, but probably information that the average viewer has not seen before. Basically what this is kind of a postmortem done in typical Morris style, fixed camera, straight interview. Mm-hmm. And slicing up interviews that he did with several of the guards, a brigadier general who's in charge of prisons in Iraq and was later removed from that post, a gentleman who was in charge of the investigation that put several of the guards after what happened at Abu Ghraib into military prison. Other people are interviewed. Basically, what Morris is doing is giving us a sort of sympathetic look at the guards.
Trying to humanize them.
Yeah.
Trying to let them tell their story so that we maybe understand what happened inside the prison.
Right. And he does that. It's interesting because almost to a person what the guards do. Lindy England is in this film. And it's funny, you can tell almost to a person, they all feel some sort of deep level of guilt over what happened there, and they all kind of feel like it wasn't their fault. Yeah. And in a sense, it was not their fault. You do get this very clear picture that they were put in conditions in which, you know, a lot of people would have done what they did, even though it's hard to imagine doing what they did. And that no one of higher rank than staff sergeant was punished for anything that happened there. And it's easy to forget about this. It's been several years now already. I think early 2004 when Abu Ghraib broke. But it's really weird when you see Lindy England looking into the camera and kind of excusing her own behavior and saying, well, we didn't kill them. We didn't cut their heads off. Mm-hmm. You know, after you've seen pictures of her holding a naked man by a leash.
Yeah. I read an article that he wrote in The New Yorker about one of the guards, and it was the best thing I ever read about Abu Ghraib. At least it explained that one guard to me, and I'm looking forward to seeing the movie. On to another film with a title like Standard Operating Procedure. This is a movie called Deception. It stars Ewan McGregor and Michelle Williams and Hugh Jackman. The deal with the movie title Deception, I was thinking about this. It's the most common movie title there is, and I looked it up on IMDb. Not including video games, 20 movies have been named Deception over the years. And one of them was later renamed Reindeer Games with Ben Affleck.
Oh.
So it curses movies that are named Deception. It used to be named Deception. But let's first listen to a clip from a generic-sounding movie.
I need to speak with you about Wyatt.
I'm sorry. I don't know any Wyatt.
You left him a message asking him to meet you here.
I thought you said that.
What? No. Look, I just need a few answers. My name is Jonathan Macquarie. I need to know about Wyatt.
I told you, I don't know any Wyatt.
That's his name.
No!
It's the name of the guy you called.
I'm sorry. I'm really in trouble. And this guy, he's dangerous.
So that was Ewan McGregor, right? What
yeah,
do you think of him and what do you think of the movie?
What I thought of the movie, it's, you know, I was sitting there about 45 minutes into the movie and checking my watch and thinking, you know, it's funny what passes for sexy in movies. Like, you have to have, like, all this music, like, and then a little, like, and then, like, there's lots of, like, shots of skyscrapers and people in suits and women in, like, pumps and, like, short suit skirts and, you know, then everyone's always taking their top off. I don't know. It's just, it's weird. Ewan McGregor, you know, I love him. He's Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know. He's Renton from Trainspotting. But, geez, I mean, I wish he'd be in a good movie already. It's been, you know, he just never has been, it seems like. He does a good job. He seems to be trying very hard in this movie. He plays a sort of, not schlubby, but kind of, you know, just an introverted accountant who gets caught up in a sex club of highly attractive, highly powerful women who are far too busy to find their own one-night stands.
Right. And, happens all the time.
Yeah. And this leads to trouble, of course. And trouble comes in the form of Hugh Jackman, who, you know, is just walking around being, like, handsome and suave. And,
okay, bottom line. Were you deceived? Did it deliver on the title?
I was not deceived, but I did feel violated.
And we have one more piece of housekeeping as far as Deception goes. You told us you'd be seeing Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
I did not see Harold
Get
and Kumar.
Out.
No.
Get out! Get now.
Out of this studio!
Let me explain something.
You have 30 seconds to do it.
I lost my bong. And I figured, what was the point?
Well, what was the point? Daniel Holloway is a friend of the BPP until now and a film critic for Metro Newspapers. And he will be seeing Iron Man and Love and Sunshine next week.
I promise.
Thanks a lot, Daniel.
Thanks Dan. Guys.